Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, which Jesus took away from the Pharisees and appointed it to other men. That's right. There was an actual government there. It was taking care of the needy of society. But it was straying from the ways of God. It was actually making the Corban of God to none effect because it refashioned that Corban of God to another purpose. Now, the purpose of Corban was, Corban is a sacrifice, and the reason that people sacrificed was to take care of the needs of society. This is what the Levites had done before. They ministered to the tents of the congregation, meaning the individual families of the congregation. This is how people came together, and why Israel was so successful is that they were bound together by free will offerings, by a system of social welfare that operated by faith, hope, and charity, and the perfect law of liberty. They don't use the word charity. They use words like free will offering. And they had treasuries. Now, most of the funds were taken care of in local congregations and helping out those people in that local congregation that needed help. But occasionally there's bigger offerings that need to be going out to help other people in other areas because of larger disasters. And this passed out to them through a network of men we call priests, Levites, who helped out those other people in other areas when the burden was too great for the local inhabitants. And they were bound together, and they had these things like feasts where they would all get together, and sometimes somebody's son would marry somebody's daughter in another area. And this would link families together all over the country, because they got together in these feasts. All very practical. And the royal treasury was those funds. There was no royal treasury that was a central treasury originally, because there was no king originally. You have to remember, when the people decided to have a king, that was called a rejection of God. But here we see Jesus coming as the highest son of David, this same kingship that has been from generation to generation before David, before Saul, and now was from generation to generation, but it was the generations of Jesus. But Jesus came to restore the kingdom, take it away. We've seen that in the last show, how he said he was going to take it away from the Pharisees and give it to another group that would bear fruit. We see him in the royal treasury, and we talked about that briefly. But in Mark 12:41, we see the words, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast in money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much." And then he talks about the widow's mite and all that. In Mark 12:43, we see, "And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." And he uses that word treasury again. In Luke 21:1, we see that same word treasury again. "And he looked up and saw the rich man casting in his gifts into the treasury." And in John 8:20, we see these words, "Spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come." He's actually in the treasury, speaking to them, telling them, teaching them. What's he talking about? There are other words translated treasury in the New Testament, like generic terms, thesaurus, which has to do about 18 times. It appears as treasury. There's the word Corban. We've mentioned that before. Corbanus, which is translated treasury, but sometimes it just appears as Corban. And of course, there is a treasury associated with the sacrifice, which is what Corban means. People sacrifice, and it goes into this treasury. It has a meaning of a gift offered to God. Now, what is God doesn't need your money. But the needy of society, what you do to the least of these, my brethren, you also do to me. So the needy in society receives the gifts of God through a system of priests that help take care of pure religion, the widows and orphans and needy of your society. It actually comes from a word karab, which means to draw near, because it draws near the character of God when we love one another and take care of them in need. But all those words aside, there's another word for treasury, and that's the one that was in these quotes that I just mentioned above, and the quotes I just mentioned before, and it's gazophulakion. And that word appears as treasure or royal treasury, and that's what it means. It actually comes from a word phulake. Phulake actually has to do with something that's kind of watched or imprisoned or encaged, you know, like a vault. And this is the gazophulake. And so it's an actual treasury. And there Jesus is in the treasury, in this walled-in, vaulted area. And he's instructing the ministers there. It's a repository of treasure, especially public treasure. A treasure, it is used to describe the apartment constructed in the courts of the temple in which not only the sacred offerings of things needful for the services were kept, but in which the priests, etc., dwelt. Jesus is in there. Why? Because Jesus is high priest and king. Josephus speaks of this treasures in the woman's court of Herod's temple. In the New Testament, near the treasury seems to be used as a receptacle mentioned by the rabbis. But the point is that this treasury, which was centralized because they had centralized the power of government into the king's office, but now Jesus was going to disperse that king's office back to the people, because that's the only way they would bear fruit, is that they took back their responsibilities to take care of one another and not hire men like Saul or Rehoboam to take care of the needy for them and to keep their government honest. They had to do it themselves. And he used an age-old system, and we see all the churches organized in this way in the early first centuries and second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh century. We still see it up into, we even see it in early America, where 10 families got together and they picked a minister. 10 ministers got together and they picked a minister, and it created a network. And it was a network bound by charity to help one another. And it creates a different kind of society, because it's a different way to govern yourselves. It's not centralized. There's no central treasury where somebody can break in and steal it. The bonds are not based on oaths and swearing and allegiance. You don't have ministers who can exercise authority one over the other. You have men of service and people who love one another. This is how God wants you to govern yourselves. He does not want you to covet your neighbor's goods, force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. He wants you to love one another. This is the kingdom of God. This is the way the kingdom of God works. And it can begin small, and it can grow greater and greater. But if you seek that kingdom and the righteousness of that kingdom, everything else you need will be provided for you. If you seek the kingdoms of Nimrod and Pharaoh and Caesar and these centralized governments where these men who exercise authority call themselves benefactors, but they don't actually give you anything except what they take away from others, if you want to depend on that, you're certainly welcome to do so. But let's not kid ourselves into believing that has anything to do with Christ and what he was preaching, his doctrines, his beliefs. He did not want you to covet your neighbor's goods. He doesn't want you overthrowing governments, but he doesn't want you praying to them for your daily bread. He wants you praying to him in hope that your neighbor will be there for you when you need help. I mean, this is what John the Baptist was saying. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next show, is John the Baptist and his baptism. And the baptism of fire. What were these things? These are somewhat metaphors. Even the ritual of baptism is a metaphor. You know, this washing up. I mean, we say it all the time. You guys clean up your act. You know, that's baptism. Clean up. Let's not do it the same way you've been doing it. Let's do it better. Well, doing it better means the daily ministration that we see in Acts 6 needs to be done through faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, or you will not be free. You will have rulers over you who take and take and take and take and take. And it should be that way, because the slothful should be under tribute, according to Proverbs. But now, if you want to repent, if you want to turn around, if you want to go the other way, then you need to be baptized, not dunked in water. I mean, it's fine. If you want to do the ritual, great. Jesus didn't need to be dunked in water and washed up. John says that. But he says, "Now, this we'll do the metaphor. We'll do the metaphor. Even though I don't need cleaning up, we'll do the metaphor. You, on the other hand, you do need cleaning up. But water is not going to wash away your sins. Living by faith, living by love, living by charity, something you're not doing in the modern churches. The modern churches aren't doing this. They say, oh, you need help? You need a daily ministration? Widows and orphans need help? You go to the benefactors who exercise authority. Even though Jesus says, it's not to be that way with you. So if your preachers are telling you to do that, you know, that's not the preachers ordained by God. That's not the church. Now you can just, you know, write that name down and strike a line through it. Because that's not the church. That's it may be a bunch of nice guys. They may talk about the Bible. They may talk about Jesus, but that's not the church established by Christ, because it's not preaching his doctrines. His doctrine was, it's not to be that way with you. It is not to be so with you. Over and over, Matthew, Mark, Luke, just, you're not to be praying to the fathers of the earth, to the benefactors who exercise authority. You're not to be coveting your neighbor's goods. You're to be keeping the commandments. And if you've got preachers that are saying, no, it's okay to covet your neighbor's goods to the agency of men who call themselves benefactors, but really just exercise authority over others, taking away from them so that you can have benefits. If your preachers are saying that's okay, they're not preaching the doctrines of Christ. And they have need of repentance. You should tell them that just before you leave their church. Get out of there. And start finding people who really do know what the love of Christ is. Start gathering with them. And until you do that, peace on your house. And may God be with you. God bless. For more information, contact us at hisholychurch.org or email us at radio@hisholychurch.org or write us at His Church, Box 10, Summerlake, Oregon, 97640.